Michael Show on the air. We are looking forward to heading to Atlanta. As a matter of fact, Randy Grimes, you remember him. Randy has been with us as a guest numerous years, former NFLer, and always great to talk to. Randy just got a hold of me on Facebook and said, looking forward to seeing you down in Atlanta. He's one of our first guests, scheduled that very first Monday as our broadcast emanates from Radio Row. And it's brought to you by our great friends over at Robert Hack Diamonds, Brett and the gang over there. They're the ones that designed Sherry's wedding and engagement ring, and people just love this thing every time they get a chance to see it. Find them in Greenfield and in Port Washington Roads and Green Tree Roads. And go to Robert Hack Diamonds. Still paying the most cash for your gold, but if you got something special coming up and jewelry is a part of it, man, make them a stop without a doubt. Also, our friends, one of our new sponsors, our good buddy Dr. Paul Levine and the Levine Dental. I tell you what, that's where I go. He's my dentist, and he came on board and said, hey, we want the good word in your experience. So I'll tell you this. They've done some crowns. He's done a couple of root canals. He has kept my teeth perfect, whitened the whole thing, and Sherry's as well. And he's the guy we trust. So, look, he's out in the Brown Deer area. You can't ask for a better dentist. The guy is just fantastic. If you're looking for a new dentist, Dr. Paul Levine and Levine Dental, they are fantastic out there. Bring him in now, the guy that's going to be traveling with us down to the ATL, down to Atlanta, Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. Michael, how you doing?
Great, and isn't it interesting? Every year when we take the show down to the Super Bowl, the people we talk to, the assistant coaches we talk to, and like in a year or two, they're the future of the NFL. You know, it's just amazing. Like some of the players you've talked to, some of the assistant coaches that are working their way up, right?
Yep, absolutely. We talked a lot of them last year. Remember, we were talking to Patrick Mahomes, who found out when he's sitting in front of us, they traded away. You know, they traded away Smith to be able to get ready for him.
To get ready to move up on the board.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. And he's such a phenomenal athlete right now. So the Packers, Brian Gutekunst, Mark Murphy, flying around the country. Last week in the office, they talked to Joe Philbin. Before that, Jim Caldwell had been with the Colts and the Lions. Chuck Pagano had been with the Colts for a while. Then Josh McDaniels. And then they talked to Adam Gase from the Dolphins, and I found that interesting. But the fact is, of the eight or nine candidates the Packers have talked to, those names, those are guys that would come into this job, obviously, with some head coaching experience, or at least, you know, play calling, game management experience of at least 5 years or so, like they had with McCarthy when they hired him, you know, 13 years ago. Josh McDaniels has been in the NFL 15 years already, offensive experience. Helped Brady get back to the Super Bowl last couple of times, the 2 years he was the head coach in Denver. And then this Adam Gase guy, 3 years as the Dolphins head coach. He got fired when he started. He wanted personnel control. He wanted a say about the roster. And he and Stephen Ross, the owner down there in Miami, would go back and forth and argue about it. But Adam Gase is an interesting guy. I can see why he does not impress me at the podium as the head coach of the Dolphins. But, man, the experience this guy's got. He's 40 now. But in 94, he worked for Nick Saban. Nick Saban in 94, actually, was a defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick and the Browns. The last year Belichick was with the Browns. So then Saban, they beat the Patriots in an AFC wildcard game. Nick Saban goes to Michigan State, becomes head coach, and this kid named Adam Gase hangs around as an assistant. So he takes him with him when Saban goes down to LSU as a 21-year-old recruiting assistant. Then Steve Mariucci hires Gase at the age of 26 to come to the Lions and be a scouting assistant. And then after that, he's a quarterback coach for the Lions. He spends a year with the 49ers as an offensive assistant. And then he's with the Broncos, and they just do tremendous things. He goes from quarterback coach to another assistant, to offensive coordinator, to wide receivers, to offensive coordinator. He's calling the plays in 2013 when Peyton Manning's been there a year now. And, you know, he's left the Colts with the big divorce and the neck injury. They go 13-3. Peyton Manning has the best year of his career in 18 NFL seasons with 55 touchdowns, 5,400 yards passing. Now, he's 39 years old. They get blown out by the Legion of Boom Seahawks, 43-8. And in New York City, but they come back a couple of years later and won a Super Bowl. So he worked for John Fox then. Fox gets the job with the Bears. He brings Adam Gase along, has a pretty good year with Jay Cutler, and that's when the Dolphins hired him for 3 years. They went 1-4 to start, then they won six straight, and he actually got them to the playoffs their second year. But their next 2 years with the Dolphins, 6-10, and this year, 7-9. Now, the red flag I have in this Adam Gase guy is, if this is the way he acts in front of a media, how does he act in front of 53 football players? They had this situation the week before they came to Green Bay to play the Packers. Their safety, Rashad Jones, had been injured, but he's probably their best secondary guy. He comes back, and they're platooning safeties. So Rashad Jones walks off the field during a Jets game, Jets-Dolphins game, and here's how Adam Gase handled that Q&A with the media.
Adam, definitively, did Rashad take himself out of the game, and have you talked to him?
Yeah, he came up and saw me last night. So he came up to the office, and we talked last night. So, and, you know, I'm still kind of going through a couple things and need to talk to a couple other people. But, you know, me and him are on the same page right now. And, you know, that conversation between me and him, that's where it'll stay. I'll just leave it at that. I had a conversation with last night. I have an idea of a lot of things that happen, and it's going to get cleaned up.
You sound like you don't feel like it's resolved, though.
There's other factors involved, so I'm going to get that addressed and cleaned up.
Can you explain why the idea of platooning back there came about?
At safety position?
Yes, with Rashad.
Well, we got to make some adjustments. We're not going to sit there and do the same thing we did the last 2 weeks that you guys have been bitching about, right? So we're gonna move some things around. We've let up 1,000 yards in 2 games. We're not gonna stay the same. We're gonna move around. We're gonna have different guys playing spots. That's what it's gonna be.
And when you continue doing that,
we'll see what we do this week. We're playing a different guy this week. So I just know if we do a lot of the things we did this last game, the results will be different. I know we're results oriented. So, but Aaron Rodgers is a little different than Sam Darnold.
That's 8 weeks ago. Is that the face of the franchise?
Yeah, that's a guy that sounds like he's swimming in quicksand.
Well, he's smart as can be, and he's been hired by Nick Saban, Steve Mariucci, Rod Marinelli, Mike Nolan, when he was with the 49ers for a year, worked with Josh McDaniels, John Fox, and a head coach. But that's how this guy reacts when the pressure's on. That would make me tentative to hire him.
Let's do this, Mike. We'll take a quick break. We'll start to run through all of this because there's a lot of stuff to kind of get to and kind of decipher. So let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio joining us. We'll be back right after this.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
No score, 10:35 to go. Andrew Luck throws right side, caught by Eric Ebron. Touchdown! Touchdown, Eric Ebron! 6 yards away, and Eric Ebron has his 14th receiving score of the season, and the Colts draw first blood. It's 6-0.
Colts get a win. They knock off the Houston Texans in a good weekend of wild card weekend football. We got the national championship tonight in college football. Coming to you live from Santa Clara, California, Levi's Stadium, the home of the San Francisco 49ers, Alabama and Clemson going at it. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. Euros are back, but for a limited time. Euro meat, chicken meat, all the fixings and sauces on top of them. All you got to do is walk into your favorite Cousin Subs and just order one. If not, go with the favorite. That is the Bill Michaels. That's the pepperoni melt, extra mayo, extra cheese, the cider radio Joe cheese curds. You're good to go. That is Cousin Subs. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. Mike, it was a good weekend of football. It wasn't like blowouts and bad games. You had strategy just about all the way down to the end in all of them.
Right. The former Bills quarterback and offensive coordinator last year with the Eagles and Doug Peterson when they won the Super Bowl. How about he brings in Eric Ebron, who was a first-round pick for the Lions 4 years ago, and they couldn't seem to do anything with him. And they bring him to Indianapolis, and he just becomes this absolute weapon. Just amazing. J.J. Watt, he and Deshaun Watson, the quarterback for the Texans, both injured last year. They thought that last year could be their year, so there they had to sit out the season and watch the season essentially be lost. And a year ago at this time in December, they're both working out and committed themselves, and we're going to come back and we're going to be strong and get in there. And there they are. They're hosting a playoff game after getting off to, I think it was a 0-3 start, and the Colts were 1-5. Both these teams sort of on that sort of plane. And the Colts with that guard, too, Nelson, the kid that they –
Yeah,
thought
the rookie.
Oh, man. You know, we saw him at Combine, and we said that's what looks like the future at NFL guard. And what a beast. Did you see the pancake block on Jadeveon Clowney?
Yes, he did. He laid him out.
Oh, and then yeah. – But then Nelson had a couple penalties later on, I think like a third down that kind of cost him and helped the Texans get back. But after
But he was the guy that solidified that offensive line for Andrew Luck all season long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So then we talked to, you know, a quick story. Bill and I are at the Pro Bowl a couple of years. J.J. Watt is signing autographs, turns and points, and he says, hey, you, Bill. And I said, Bill, J.J. Watt's pointing to you, and you kind of put your hand in your chest like, me? You talking to me? He comes over, I grew up listening to your show, man. Can I get on your show?
Yeah, how about that, huh?
That was the coolest moment ever. J.J. Watt talked about how tough it was to lose that game at home against the Colts.
It's frustrating. You got to give the Colts a lot of credit, especially early in the game, in the first quarter. Just didn't do enough. I mean, it sucked. Told the boys in there it sucked. I love every guy in that locker room. I mean, we started out 0-3, and most everybody wrote us off, found a way to come back. It's very frustrating when they're able to execute and get their job done. Obviously, we had a couple big penalties early in the game as well, but you got to overcome. You got to find a way to win.
He's running out of time to get to a Super Bowl. He's pretty banged up. You know?
Yeah.
So then they had this situation where the Colts are going into Houston to NRG Stadium, and the Texans defensive back Jonathan Joseph calls T.Y. Hilton, the Colts receiver, the speedy Colts receiver, a clown. That guy's a clown.
Mm-hmm.
So T.Y. shows up to the stadium wearing this clown mask before the game. That went viral, and he talked about it after the win.
I got a lot of messages last night of what he said. I said, you know what? Let's have fun with it. So it's something I did. I wanted to have fun with it. I always do my talking on the field. You know, I'm not a big talker. I don't jaw. I just go out there, do my job, do what my teammates need me to do. And, you know, we got to win today.
So, I think the Colts are a little bit of a Cinderella team, but they still got a darn good quarterback, Andrew Luck, and he was most proud of the fact that they stuck to their run game.
We had confidence in our run game, and we know, and Frank has preached this, in any football game, whether it's playoff or not, you need to control the line of scrimmage. By no means was it perfect, but, man, the positive run yard we got, and we're great, and we know that some really effective runs early in the game, and then to finish the game like we did, I'm proud of the guys up front. It's not easy to run the ball on that defense, and it's a really good defense, a lot of good players, so we made the most of it. Proud of Marlon, proud of all the guys, proud of the guys up front.
I was a little surprised that the Colts went in there and got the win, but because I thought Houston was playing some pretty good football and that place would be off the hook. But I give credit, all the credit in the world, to what the Colts did and the way they stymied them and just shut them down. I would be a little concerned. I said this earlier today. The Colts scored 21 in the first half and didn't sniff the end zone after that. And they did have some penalties, but that offense is going to need to score if they're going to beat Kansas City.
Impressive defense out of the Colts, and this is the time you need it as well. So then, Saturday night, you're in the Big D, and it's Pete Carroll and the Seahawks. And Pete made fun of the Cowboys' AT&T Stadium before he left Seattle.
It's a real glitzy place, you know. When you come out of a football locker room ready to play football, and you go into a nightclub, you know, it's kind of like we're in the club, you know. No, wait a minute, you know, you got to play ball. It's unusual.
Didn't seem to hurt the Green Bay Packers when they won a Super Bowl there.
No, not at all. And you know, I thought they did a great job on shutting down Chris Carson. I thought that the Cowboys' defense was kind of going to be the star, you know, with that Leigh Van Esch, that rookie linebacker, 138 tackles during the season, set a team rookie record all over the field. One thing that was impressive was how did the Seahawks turn themselves around after not making the playoffs last year and with just an average group of guys. Mike Solari is their offensive line coach in Seattle. That's a guy who was the offensive line coach when the 49ers were at their height with Jim Harbaugh and beating up the Packers every year. And then McCarthy brought him to Green Bay for 1 year where he was assistant to James Campen. There are drills that Mike Solari showed James Campen that 3 years later they're still using in Green Bay. He's impressive, but it wasn't enough to get the win. And Dak Prescott, he's already talking Super Bowl for Dallas.
That's great. I mean, it gives us a chance to keep going on. I mean, honestly, simple as that. I mean, I want to, me and this whole team, we want to win it all. And you can't do that without taking care of the first one. We're just able to do that one tonight. So a lot of excitement, but my goal is bigger than just one playoff win.
Dak was the youngest quarterback to get the win over the weekend, as all the veterans, Mike, seemed to be able to kind of pull things out. Nick Foles did against Trubisky. Obviously, Dak has been there, done that, but he's not had the same success as Russell Wilson has had. But the younger guys didn't fare so well. Phillip Rivers goes into a very tough place to play in Baltimore. He gets the win as well against Jackson, which I can't believe that Harbaugh left him in that long. But nevertheless, Phillip Rivers, they put some points up on the board as well.
I was amazed how they were blitzing Phillip Rivers every play, and every play he figured out a way to get the ball out of his hands, whether it was a little dump-off pass to Kenosha Bradford's Melvin Gordon or to one of his tight ends. And they were just kicking field goals and kicking field goals, but he was still moving the chains, still being disciplined. And God, guys were just getting beat up in that game. Really, really physical football game in Baltimore against the Ravens. And, you know, so strange, too. The Chargers, a 12-4 season, but they missed the tiebreaker because they're in the same division as the Kansas City Chiefs. So they got to go out and play the Ravens, which, I don't know, they have 9 wins or something. I mean, you know, they just snuck in there into the wild card. And even though the Chargers won, now they got to go back to New England
right.
for the second week.
A lot of travel to East Coast.
You know, yeah, a lot of travel like that. But they expect there's 12 minutes left in the third quarter, and finally the Ravens back off just a little bit in their coverage, a little more prevent, and he finds good old Antonio Gates over there, gets the first down, and then he starts, you know, chipping away, gets Melvin Gordon down the two. Melvin has a one touchdown where he holds the ball over it, then it gets fumbled. The Ravens thought they returned it, but they said the ball was dead. So on the next play, Gordon gets in the touchdown. And then they're cooking, and Phillip Rivers is now going to the next level in the playoffs.
Typical of this team this year, the way we won. We've won in so many different ways, ugly, pretty, defensively, offensively, come from behind, make a field goal at the buzzer, so many different ways, and it was a collective team win today.
He's had a terrific year. He's had a year that nobody's talking about because Patrick Mahomes has been so good. Obviously, Brady's got another good year going. There's been Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, a lot of these guys. Phillip Rivers just gets lost in the shadows.
So Lamar Jackson, the 21-year-old quarterback that replaced Joe Flacco this season for the Ravens, LA is up 18-3 in this thing. And Lamar, he reminds me of Michael Vick, and these guys never get to the promised land. They're entertaining, but they run too much. And, I mean, you know, you've got to be a pure passer if you're going to get to the Super Bowl. It just seems to be that way. And as talented as he is, as less lethic as he is, and he can throw the ball, and he's only 21, 22, so he doesn't even know what half the defenses are that are out there, I guess he'll improve. But I was hearing you talking about this earlier in your show, too. Why doesn't Harbaugh go to Joe Flacco that was a Super Bowl MVP and put him in there? I thought the same thing because the announcers were talking about it. To me, as I watched that Chargers rush that they had going on, I thought, you know, I don't think Joe Flacco could escape that blitz any better than Lamar Jackson could. And maybe that's why he stuck with him. But John Harbaugh was asked, the head coach of the Ravens, why didn't you go with Flacco?
Joe Flacco is going to play really well in this league. Joe can still play. I think we saw that the first half of the season. Joe's going to have a market. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to want Joe.
And that was his answer.
Yeah.
We've moved on.
Yeah. That's the train has left the station.
Yeah.
Which I think for one game you had to, I mean, put it this way. I agree the pass rush was heavy. But much like Phillip Rivers, Joe Flacco would have had a sense, at least an understanding as to what was coming at him, maybe to get rid of the football a little bit quicker rather than just running around like a chicken with his head cut off. You know, that to me was probably the more egregious thing in all of this before it was all said and done. But nevertheless. Hey, Mike, you got one more in you?
You bet.
Hang in there. We're broadcasting out of our studios today, but Mike and I and everybody else can be traveling down to the ATL, getting you ready for Super Bowl, and we're looking forward to it. Going down there, compliments of a lot of great people, our friends at Brumar Productions. They have Eagle Mania upcoming, and Eagle Mania is on the road all over the state of Wisconsin. Pabst Theater coming up here shortly as well. You're going to have plenty of dates to choose from if you want to go see the best Eagles cover band in the world. And it's Thursday, January 17th in Green Bay at the Meyer Center, Friday, January 18th at the Eau Claire Pablo Center, and Saturday, January 19th here in Milwaukee at the Pabst Theater. Go to PabstTheater.org for all the information and to check it all out. It's a terrific time. Also, our good friends at Coach's Pub and Grill, the home of the Big Boy Burger, great specials, awesome fish fry, sports on the TVs, and say hi to Cornet when you walk through the door. He's a terrific guy as well. And our friends at Usinger's, whether it's from the delis or the cheeses, they've got it all. Party boxes, samplers, the Northern Comfort or the Old World Medley, my favorite. Usinger's has something for everybody. Go to usinger.com, U-S-I-N-G-E-R, usinger.com. More of Mike Clemens right after this.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Kicking toward the north end zone at Soldier Field. 3 for 3 on the day. 10 seconds to go. Parkey lines it up. O'Donnell on one knee. Gives him a look. Extends his right arm. Scales sends it back. Placement made. Kick by Parkey from 43. And it hit the upright. It is no good on the crossbar. And the Eagles are celebrating here at Soldier Field.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Wasn't that long ago we were down in Chicago, Mike Clemens and I, and we were listening to Bears fans revel in the fact that they knocked off the Green Bay Packers and how good this defense was, comparisons to 1985, and we kept saying, you know, it's good, but you're not great, and you're not quite there. Good luck when you get to the postseason, and we saw what happens. In one of the phases, special teams lets them down. It was actually a block, by the way, for those that Parkey didn't just miss it. It was tipped at the line of scrimmage, but nevertheless, it falls off to the right, or excuse me, off to the left, and then off to the crossbar, and then back onto the field, and does not split the uprights and does not win the game. This portion of the program brought to you by your friends at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED, and it's a new year, make it a new you. Look, hey, if the pills aren't working, go see the medical experts with a 98% success rate at treating guys with ED at Neumel Medical. That's without the side effects of the pharmaceuticals. And maybe you want to be sharper and have more energy and move around a little bit better. Could be some low T. Go in and get your numbers checked. It's really simple. All you got to do is call them. I did the exact same thing. It's been a fantastic experience. And if you want to lose weight, especially coming out of the holidays, call them for the all-in-one weight loss program. And it's as simple as a phone call. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center. Mike Clemens joining us on the Orange Hotline. So, Mike, as we continue to move on, it's I hope the rest of the postseason goes like this because it's been exciting.
Yeah, it was. It certainly was yesterday. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay,
go ahead.
Right. The Eagles came in there, and, you know, people were thinking in the last couple of weeks the Eagles have got it going now, and they got Darren Sproles back. They got a couple of other players, and they got things rolling. And quite frankly, you know, Nick Foles just doesn't flinch. He just doesn't. And last year when we talked to him at the Super Bowl, very approachable guy. Very down-to-earth guy, not a lot of friends, just he and his wife, strong Christian faith, talks a lot about that, and this stuff just doesn't rattle him. And so even though he ends up throwing, you know, two picks in the game, with the ball in his hand, he drives down there and hits Golden Tate. Well, they made that trade with the Lions. The Lions still don't understand that. And they get the touchdown down there with, you know, just a minute left to play, 56 seconds or so, and Foles talked about how the team is coming together.
Our defense did an amazing job tonight, really keeping us in it. You know, the first half was, we struggled on offense. I struggled through a couple picks. But, you know, the last drive was really just stay in the moment, let's play the play, let's just keep going, let's march.
Now, to me, Bill, a year ago in November or so, I thought the Eagles had easily become the team to beat because they were flying in all three phases.
Mm-hmm.
Last year's Eagles special teams would not have given up that 40-some yard return by
right.
Tariq Cohen. You know, and to give Mitch Trubisky the ball. Trubisky lived up to it, man. He, you know, they had him going with short passes like he did against the Packers, but he started to air it out later on and was making some nice deep throws. In the first half, a lot of the throws were going into the sidelines. And so Matt Nagy said he started to move those guys more to the numbers, and that's when he started connecting on some deep balls in the second half. So to get all the way down there, it's a 43-yard attempt. Cody Parkey, who Nagy had him, got a police escort for him last week, Wednesday and Thursday night, around 5 o'clock, around the time that he would predict that if Parkey's got to make a kick to win the game, that's what the conditions would look like, around 5 o'clock or so at Soldier Field. And they went out there and they warmed up. He makes one from 43, but Doug Peterson iced him, takes the timeout right at the same time. You could look on Parkey's face like, oh, man. He lines up, he kicks it again. And it says Tavon Hester, number 90, defensive tackle. He gets a couple of fingers on that ball. It changes direction, bounces off the upright, bounces off the crossbar, onto the field. No good. Bears lose. Parkey after the game.
You can't make this up. I mean, I feel terrible. Let the team down. That's on me. So I have to own it. I have to be a man. And, you know, it's unfortunately that's the way it went today.
But as Hub Arkish said, the veteran Chicago reporter, there's no way he's coming back next year.
Yeah, I can't imagine. They paid that. They guaranteed that guy $9 million.
$9 million on a $14 million deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Good stuff as always, Mike. Looking forward to the days that count down to us heading down to Atlanta, Georgia. As a matter of fact, I'm looking through some airfare now. It has dropped as a lot of the Bears fans are starting to turn their tickets back in. So
there you go.
Should be good, buddy.
Yeah, that double doink, I've got that on a continuous loop on my TV right now.
That's going to become a ringtone.
Can't get enough of that.
That's a double doink. That'll be a ringtone. Mike, good stuff. We'll talk to you, pal.
Thank you, Bill.
That wraps it up. We covered it all today, and we'll continue to cover it all coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll get a little more into Aaron Rodgers, and I think some of the bad rap that he's getting nationally, we'll talk a little bit about that. Maybe you're going to be a little bit surprised at what I have to say. Also, we'll talk some NFL. Mike Denier of the Bleacher Report going to be joining us. Chris Price of the Boston Sports Journal going to talk to him about Josh McDaniels. We'll cover the Bucs game that's going to be taking place tonight as well, and also get you ready for Wednesday night's game on prime time regarding those Milwaukee Bucs. Time for us to go, though. Have a go. Shoot!
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.